All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. Taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could cry. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I think of you. Every song I sing for you. When I come back, I'll wear your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes, I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the time I won't have to say. Kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, March 6, 2018 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog. You for the next 2 hours. Sorry about the short delay. There was a little bit of technical difficulties, but we got it straightened out. I have a few announcements to make here before we get started, and something a little bit different today, folks. I've got a caller that has called in my show on a number of occasions, Daryl from Alabama. I never called him back. He left his contact information, and I lost it in the mix of all my paperwork. So I actually found it yesterday. Took the initiative to give him a call. I was on the phone with Daryl for about an hour last night, and we have some commonalities, him and I. And so I invited Daryl up to run with me today, which he's going to do. He'll be calling into the network here in the next, I don't know, 10 minutes or so. And I'm just going to let him ride along, and we're going to have a discussion, probably talk about airplanes because we're both pilots. But at any rate, I want to make a few announcements before I bring Daryl up. Number one, folks, I hate scammers. I hate people that aren't truthful people. I just don't have time for them. I don't suffer fools. And I absolutely detest people that scam me. So, you know, if you want to have a little fun, I got a call yesterday from a guy that was claiming to be from the U.S. and that I owed money. His name is Mike Foster. And interestingly enough, Mr. Foster has a really deep Indian accent. I tell you no, you know, one of those guys. So if you want to have some fun with this guy that claims to be from the IRS, his telephone number is 202-231-750. Call him up and harass him, okay? I'd like to run that clown out of town. I asked him for his badge number. He gave it to me, and I automatically he wasn't from the IRS because I've had a call from the IRS before, and they always give their badge number without you having to ask for it. This man is a scammer. Again, the number 202-239-1750. Call him up and harass him. like I did. I called him back three times yesterday to the point where he wouldn't even pick up my calls. He was so Okay, next. I've hired a producer, folks. Now, here's how it's going to work. I've told you before on the air that I can either do the research and report it to you, or I can try tracking down these people and their telephone numbers and bring them up on the air. So I'm going to say this now, that if you have a guest, and by the way, hang glide home, I appreciate you trying to put the word out directly to a couple of these people. I got those emails, and I know that they never a response, so I appreciate that. But here's the way it's going to work. If you have a person that you've listened to on the air that you would like to interview, simply send me an email of that person. But before you do, please try to find the contact information for them first. If you cannot do it, that's fine. Send me the email. I will forward it off to my producer, and I will have her try to track it down. Now, I've put out a few names today already to RBN, and RBN has not been able to provide me the contact information for some guests that I'd like to have up on my show. But again, I want to repeat, if you guys have a guest, have a person that you've listened to that you'd like me to have as a guest, please send me an email with that person's name and hopefully with their contact information. If you can't get the contact information, I'll go ahead and forward it to my producer, and I'll see if she can bring it up. So that takes care of that. Now, thirdly, I had a conversation this morning with Tom LaCavara for about 30 minutes, and I tuned into his show last night. He's out of the halfway house. Now, he was not able to tell his listening audience much of the information that's happening behind the scenes, and I'm kind of limited as to what I can do as well. But I can tell you a little bit more than what he provided on his show last night, because they don't listen to my show. Folks, what we have here is we have a situation where, although Tom is out of the halfway house, he's dealing with a bunch of liberal, drop-the-ball, know-nothing probation department that have literally been dragging their feet to the point where he's going in front of a judge on the 13th, which is 1 week from today, because the judge has been pushing to eliminate some of these people out of this halfway house, and that I believe that the parole office, the parole board, or wherever it is, deliberately dragging their feet because of his political leanings. Now, why do I say that? I'm going to share with you now a little bit more than what he was in here. Though he was out of the halfway house, he had suggested to them and provided the information for him to stay at Hammonds. And I guess the parole board, the police department, the feds, and everybody said, "Oh, well, we're not going to let you do that," because they were afraid of, they didn't want to go and make periodic visits if Tom was staying there, because they were afraid of the Hammonds because of their political lean. So here's where we're at. There are some things going on behind the scenes that neither of us can say. But I will say this. Here's what's happening right now. Tom is in a situation where he is having to spend about $100 a day to stay where he's staying. The only option he had. And what I told Tom this morning is I am going to attempt to, put the word out and get the donations from my listening audience to try to stem the tide and try to get this money together for him so he literally isn't out in the street, because they wouldn't let him stay at the Hammond. So I'm going to ask you folks, if you would, to please either drop me an email or I'll give Tom's PayPal account number. Make a donation. Now, Tom and I are working together on this. I'm going to have Tom up on my show tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit further about this. But he is in dire need. He needs to get down here to Arizona. And it's costing him money daily that he doesn't have to stay there. Otherwise, he'll be left out and maybe wind up back in the halfway house. I don't know. But anyway, if you would, go into his PayPal account and make a donation. Now, I'm going to be tracking, and so is he, the donations made. Or if you'll just call into my show and make a pledge that you will donate, I will put the money in his account for him and you can send me a check. The PayPal account is, and get your pen and paper ready here, folks, because I'm going to repeat this. I'm not going to stop on this. The account is https semicolon or is it colon? I don't know. It's the two dots. /// www.paypal.me/RTRTruthMedia. Now that's Tom's PayPal account. Any donations that could be made, however large or however small, he could not say how much is needed. I pressed him today to find out exactly how much money he needs to make it through to the court date. And it's not a lot, folks. It's $700. So if we all chip in 20, 30, 40 bucks or whatever, or 10 bucks or 50 bucks or 100 bucks if you can afford it, this is an easily remediable thing. Now, I will say this, okay? If I can get some donations, I will put up $100 to this. Now, as you know, and I've said before on the air, this show and the preparation for this show cost me a pretty extensive amount of money. So I give to the network by virtue of my time that I spend plus the creativity that I have. But I'm asking you folks, in this particular case, we need to collect, well, we need to collect $600 because I'll throw in $100 to get Tom LaCavira to his court date and get him down here to Arizona and get him out of that liberal situation. So please, again, it's HTTPS, is it colon, /// www.paypal.me, /RTRTruthMedia. Or, you know, you can send either myself, you can send me an email, or you can send Tom an email directly to his email address, which is rtruthmedia@gmail.com, and Tom will forward you the PayPal information. And I would appreciate it, folks, if you would do that for me, because there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes work at trying to get this guy out of there and trying to get him down here. So it was helped me immensely, if you would do that. Now, I tuned into his show last night, and I actually learned on Tom's show that this character, this 17-year-old kid, David Hogg, is getting donations from a number of different entities, one of which, and for the gun control grab, right? One of which happens to be none other than Planned Parenthood. Now, I didn't know that. All right. Why is Planned Parenthood giving thousands of dollars to this whole gun control thing through David Hogg? And the only thing I could figure out is, well, wait a minute. They don't want any more school shootings to kill these young ladies that are later going to get pregnant and come in and have abortions. So they don't want the guns to kill. They want to kill the young ladies' babies and keep them alive. Keep the young ladies alive so they can kill their babies. That's the only thing I could figure out here. Now, with that, let me ask Dan. Dan, do you have Daryl up yet? Oh, Dan. I guess Dan isn't at his desk. Anyway, I'm going to have Tom LaCavira up tomorrow, and we're going to be discussing what we can discuss with you folks. I do have a plan B on this, but I'm trying my best to get him through this thing, to get him down here. So any help that you could give, I would certainly appreciate. None of it's going to me. I'm not asking you folks for anything. I'm fine by myself, okay? As you know, I wear two other hats. I umpire baseball, which I will do today and tomorrow and Thursday, and I also Uber. So I'm financially okay, okay? The only thing that I have is I have the commitment to you, and I have the commitment to this network, and I have a commitment to the movement. And Tom LaCavira is indeed part of the movement. He brings a lot of good content to the network. John has contributed by leaving his spot, doing rebroadcasts open without replacing him, because he's a very valued part of this network, folks. So that said, again, I'm going to ask Dan. Oh, Dan, the engineer, do you have Daryl up yet? I guess Dan, the engineer, isn't there. Okay. I'll tell you what, folks. Let me take a second here and write Dan a message, just in case. I don't know why he's not answering here. Hold on just a second. I'm going to type this out. Dan, do you have Daryl yet? As I said, Daryl's going to be riding shotgun with me today. So, folks, so bear with me just a minute here. There. Dan, do you have Daryl yet? Okay. So, anyway, getting back to this, you know, as you know, folks, other than asking for every once in a while, reminding you of how valuable RBN is, you know, I don't ask for money for myself. I don't want money for myself. I do ask that you try to help one of our Patriot brothers out and send a PayPal donation to him. And I'll be keeping up with the donations because I'll be in contact with him and I'll have him up on the air. And hopefully maybe he can, you know, give you a little bit more information. I don't want to say too much because these people that we're dealing with up there are, well, liberal people, very liberal people, very left-leaning people. Okay, with that, Daryl in Alabama, you with me?
Hi, Michael. Daryl here in Alabama. Good afternoon.
Hey. Oh, good afternoon. You're not on my show, Daryl. You're riding shotgun with me today, okay? I just finished making a few announcements.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I just finished announcements, and I'd mentioned to the audience that you and I had a very pleasant conversation on the telephone last night. We had some commonalities. We're both pilots. And, you know, touch base on a myriad of issues. But, Daryl, you know, you had shared with me, and I wanted to kind of get this out here first. You had shared with me that as a pilot, you've flown the air, correct?
Yeah, DC-9, MD-80, and Boeing 717. And a Beech 1900 turboprop. Yeah.
Okay. Now those are all jet aircraft. And as you know, I'm a pilot. I'm not jet rated, but I'm multi-engine rated and obviously single-engine rated piston. So I've never had the opportunity or the privilege to fly a jet. But one thing I wanted to put out here, just for the sake of the listening audience. Now you're familiar with the VMOs or the VSOs of jet flight.
Yeah.
And so the cruising's good. Go ahead.
No, you were doing fine. We got a little delay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. Well, in flying these jets, you know, I mean, the cruising speed of a DC-9, let's take for example, at altitude is how fast?
Well, we at altitude, anything above 18,000 feet, what we do is we go to Mach numbers, and we would typically flight plan a Mach number for a DC-9 at 0.78 Mach was a good number, and you're looking at
so that, would equate
that as being a true airspeed at that Mach would be, you know, like 421 knots, something like that. You know, it's in that ballpark, depending upon some other factors, but, yeah.
Right, so we're talking about upwards of about, you know, putting it in miles per hour, about 480 to 500 miles an hour, somewhere in there, correct?
Exactly right, yep.
Okay. All right. Now, so let's take that at altitude, which is somewhere above 18,000 feet, but they generally fly right around 30, 32, somewhere in there. Okay. Now, let's take that down with the density altitude to 800 to 900 feet above sea level. You as a pilot, you that have flown these jets, okay, you tell my listening audience, as my shotgunner today, okay, if it's at all possible for a jet to fly at 800 to 1,000 feet at that speed without breaking up?
No, it's aerodynamically not physically possible, and that's due to physics. It has to do with compressibility and load forces and something called induced drag at that level above, at that altitude above sea level, the density of the air is so thick, compressed, that it actually cannot penetrate through that air at that speed. You could equate it somewhat to water. You know, you have a maximum speed with which a torpedo or a boat hull can penetrate through the water. And these forces increase with the square of your speed. So easy math on that would be at 100 miles an hour, you have a certain air friction. So, you know, we'll call it X. And then at 200 miles an hour, it doesn't double, it quadruples. So it it increases with the square speed, and these forces build up really quick, and so there's not enough thrust in the engines to actually do that, you know, go that fast. It's ridiculous.
Okay, tell you what. Okay, well, we're going to stay on that topic for now, Shotgunner, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, Dear American Awakening, with my shotgun writer, Daryl, in Alabama. Be right back.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
You can sit around and all right, folks. For the phone. We're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Now, going down this same path, and by the way, there's a reason I'm doing this, folks, because Daryl, as a jet pilot, you know, I'm a pilot for 9/11 Truth. I know Rob Balsamo, John Lear, Russ Wittenberg, all these jet pilots will tell you the same thing, but I want coming out of the horse's mouth of my shotgun writer, Daryl, from Alabama. Let's go back to this. At 100 miles an hour, Daryl, we're going to call it X. At 200 miles an hour, we're going to call it 4X. It's 4 times. So at 300 miles an hour, it would be 16X. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So 16X, let's see, 4, that's 4 times, so 32. So at 400 miles per hour, it would be 64X. And at 460 to 500 yeah. miles, go ahead. Okay. At 460 to 500 miles. What I'm getting at here is the official story about these jets hitting these buildings. It would have been physically impossible for them to do 450 to 500 miles an hour and hit these buildings. They would have broken up before then because of the altitude, correct?
Correct. And there's another component in there that with the air density, of course, particularly the Pentagon, being as that was just, right at sea level, that the air is so dense that it's a little technical here, but the angle of attack of the wing, in order for it to fly, as you go faster and faster, it reduces, and the angle of attack on the wing that you have to hold it at to maintain lift, it gets less and less because of the speed of the aircraft. So even if you could achieve enough thrust to overcome that drag, you would have to reduce your angle of attack to the point where you would be flying this jet nose down. It's ridiculous. It just doesn't work that way. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So the other point that I want to make, and by the way, folks, we're not going to spend the whole show on this. Daryl's riding shotgun with me today. We'll probably talk about a myriad of subjects. We're going to open up the phone lines and just kind of have a roundtable discussion between us, the listeners, the group. But one other thing I want to mention, I want to get your take on this, Daryl, is we know that airplanes are made out of aluminum, and they're made out of aluminum. They're very light. They have to be, or they couldn't fly. You can't make them out of lead. You can't make them out of steel, okay, or they wouldn't fly. So when even if the official story were correct, and a jet hit the World Trade Center at 460 to 500 miles an hour, I mean, if you take a Pepsi can and smash it into a wall or the floor, it just collapses. It doesn't go through steel.
Right.
Now,
So what you're talking about here is using some basic common sense to expose their conspiracy theory, because there is a conspiracy theory here, and that's the official story. Aircraft are incredibly strong for the design that they're engineered for, but they're incredibly fragile outside of those parameters. So an aircraft hitting a steel tower would be equivalent of throwing aluminum confetti in the air after it hit it. It's just not even reasonable and plausible for the aircraft to penetrate all the way through, as those images showed. So,
okay, right. So that said, there had to be, and I'm just doing some cognitive rational thinking here. Mike in Kentucky, I'll bring you up after the break, so hang in there. We've got a break coming up shortly. But, in cognitive thinking, that hole that we saw in the building had to have had some kind of very small charges that went off at the precise time to make it look like a plane went through there. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, they outsmarted themselves by half, because even if the front of the aircraft and the concentration of that mass would have broken through the outer layer of that skin, the wings are, here again, incredibly fragile, and wouldn't have been able to make that clean paper cut on the front of that building like it showed. So
okay, let me stop you. Dan, we're supposed to be going to a break, are we not? I don't hear any music. Okay. All right. Yeah, we got a break coming up, Daryl, here. And what is that? Okay. We're supposed to be at a break. Are we at a break, Dan? Okay. Yeah, looks like it's a little bit late. Right. Hang on with me, Mike in Kentucky. I'll pull you up with Daryl, my shotgun co-host, here after the break. So we'll see you in a few minutes, folks. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
With the American Awakening, Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun with my co-host Shotgun Writing, Daryl in Alabama. And I really appreciate having you on here, Daryl, because you know the commonalities we started out by talking about the psyop of the official story, but there's so many psyops going on. This is just going to be an open forum today, folks. You can call in, chime in, talk about whatever you like, because Daryl and I are going to just kind of touch base on a number of issues. But Daryl, I got a couple callers on the line already. So first up, we're going to go to Mike in Kentucky. Mike, you're on with Mike and Daryl. Go ahead.
One of the short videos I really like is Why So Fast from the 9/11, and it's, I think, edited out of one of the longer videos, but you know, it points out from the 9/11 Truth, pilots for 9/11 Truth, that the barber pole and alarm would be just like almost unbearable as they tried to, you know, come down at the speeds they're saying, it takes a little bit of skill to avoid what's called overspeed. Am I not correct on that? The overspeed is something you have to be very careful with the flight controls. And when I had Science of Aviation, and I played around with, you know, Chuck Yeager's flight simulator and some remote radio control planes. I've snapped wings off of those. That was a hard lesson for me to learn when I was a high schooler. You cannot expect these planes to to fly just any way you want them to before you start snapping off pieces, you know, if you try to do a maneuver that's too quick. But I encountered in the Chuck Yeager flight simulator what I was told was called high-speed stall. If you go too fast, you lose control. The aircraft becomes kind of stuck, and I've heard of that happening with World War II pilots, where you get into a dive and you're going so fast that your control surfaces no longer respond. And I would think that might be a factor there if they're
Darryl,
supposed to be.
A comment?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's talking about a very valid phenomenon in aircraft, and we all think that these commercial jets fly fast relative to our cars. They do, but they're not designed to be real high speed aircraft. They have big fat wings, and so you run into all kinds of really incredible effects, like compression on the wings, compressibility, compression wave. This can lock up control surfaces or put so much force on them that if you try to overcome those control surfaces, rudders and ailerons, with those kind of forces on them and apply enough force, you can literally start breaking things because there's so much resistance. And
it just rips them off, too, as I understand it. The air density rips the skin off the plane. Some point.
And that's what Michael was demonstrating very aptly with some simple math, was the exponential increase in these fantastic forces that occur. And so the barber pole, it's interesting you bring that up. There's overspeed limiters on these aircraft with horns and bells and whistles, so to speak. And they also, these advanced aircraft, almost all commercial transport category 121 aircraft, even the old DC-9s had overspeed limiters where they would manually or electro-hydraulically try to pull the aircraft's nose up for you if it was in a high-speed dive, okay, limiting that. So these box cutter boys, they would have had to overcome a phenomenal amount of physics and built-in
safeguards,
safety measures in these aircraft to respond automatically. So it's it's just a conspiracy theory, you know.
Well, the whole thing, the official story is a conspiracy theory, but the GPS data points, and we're talking about 17 years ago, the aircraft that was flying were in service for a number of years, and so they shouldn't have had GPS in the data points for the flight data recorders that finally people got a hold of and analyzed, and it looks like a couple of the planes were equipped with GPS. Does that not point to them not being the planes that they say the tail numbers were? Just that one data point shouldn't have been there, right? Did you guys look at that?
Well, I'm not an expert on American United's livery and how those aircraft were equipped. I'd leave that to other people. Their flight management systems probably should have had global inertial navigation, which is consistent with that kind of aircraft. But I really can't speak to that. But boy, if you wanted to use that aircraft for a guided missile, GPS would work really good if you could tie it into the flight management system.
Well, I think that's what it points at. Your planes are going too fast, and Pilots for 9/11 Truth has a video out that looks at that, how they had to use a different spreadsheet to look at the data. And lo and behold, there's GPS data points in the aircraft flight data tapes that they were able to get a hold of. I think the Pentagon is one of those, and that points toward would have to be a modified aircraft that would be much newer than the ones that were supposedly the ones that flew, which were up to 10 years old, as I understand it. Two or three of them were made in like 1991, and they should not have had GPS. But that's where I got that, was from Pilots for 9/11 Truth. But in the Pentagon pictures that were shown to people, there were plane parts that I have read over the years. A couple of different places say the engine casings were wrong. And, of course, there's, like you were saying, PSYOPs. There's a lot of disinformation out there and rabbit trails that destroy the credibility for people looking at this. Like the, I'm pretty sure Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and Dave Von Kleist's video looked at the auxiliary power unit compressor fan and tried to say, well, that looks like it came from a Global Hawk. And that was a disinformation trail that hurt a lot of people's credibility, because the auxiliary power unit, the pictures of that APU fan are spread far and wide across the internet, and people say, look, this case is wrong. This is the wrong part for this airplane. It had to be a Global Hawk. But the pictures of the engine casings that are in the Pentagon were like the wrong brand. They were, I can't remember if they were supposed to be General Electric, and they were actually Rolls Royce. You know, there were two different. And that's another clue that points to these planes not being the ones that they told us. And all.
We've established that. Well, Mike.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Mike, thank you for your input. I've had Joe in Arkansas waiting on for the last 15 minutes. I'm going to let you go, Mike. Go ahead and respond to that, and then I'll bring you up, Joe. Well, hold on just a minute, Joe. Go ahead, Daryl.
My response to that is that all these things are trotted out as diversions to direct the uninitiated into thinking in certain directions, like, see, I told you so. So they major in the minors. All they have to do to support their theories, these people that would poo-poo these things, is point out one little flaw that somebody commented on that didn't know what they were talking about. And that puts everybody to rest. Okay, now everything's okay. That's been solved. Well, you know, 9/11 Truth Pilots is a really good source of information for people that care to actually look at it.
Okay, let's bring Joe in Arkansas up. Joe, what's on your mind? How you doing? Thank you for waiting so long, being patient, Joe.
Hey,
go ahead.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm a retired iron worker, and I worked on the World Trade Center in the 80s installing antennas, and we built a tower on the South Tower. And so I was able to see the steel in the building. And, no, I have a big problem with planes penetrating the building. I just can't see it at all. And I worked on the Empire State Building. And there was a booklet in the Empire State Building about it. I think it was a B-17 or B-24 hit the Empire State Building.
It was a B-25. B-25, go ahead.
B-25. Okay. And so I saw the pictures of that. And, yeah, part of that plane did penetrate the building, but a lot of it fell to the street. So that's what I believe should have happened on 9/11 if we're to believe that 767 hit the Trade Center.
Right, and so
also,
and so the question is, go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to bring up the plane that in October of 2001 that no one talks about that went down in Long Island, and the hearsay is, or allegedly, why that plane went down in Long Island in October of 2001. Was a message to the pilots to keep their mouth shut, because they all know what happened on that day is impossible.
Okay. Daryl, you know, go ahead. You want to comment, Daryl?
Well, I suppose that's possible, you know, considering everything else that we see. So I can't really speak to that.
Well, yeah, look, what the premise... Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was just going to say, no one ever talks about the plane in October 2001 and how the tail just happened to get blown off it and it went right down into the city. Everybody seems
well,
to...
Well, I didn't know. I didn't hear anything about that particular plane. But, what you know, the premise of this program today was not so much to just center on 9/11, which I started it like that and I kind of turned it to it, but it's more along the lines of PSYOPs as a whole, because we know that 9/11 was nothing more than a big PSYOP. And how many PSYOPs have we seen, and with how much more regularity are we seeing them? And why? Now, in closing this out, you know, the question is, if we know those planes, if they hit at 460 miles an hour, which we know is not true, they couldn't have penetrated the steel. We know that's not true. So what really did hit that building? Were there explosives in there just, you know, creatively planted to make it look like the airplane hit it? Was it a hologram? What was it? It was something. I don't know what. I don't claim to know what. I know there's a lot of theories out there. And at this particular point in time, 17 years after the fact, it's not as important as to what happened and how it happened as to who did it. We've already established that fact. So again, I wanted to talk more along the lines of just PSYOPs as a whole, as opposed to spending this whole program on 9/11. But if anything else you'd like to add, though, Joe?
Well, yeah, I'd like to say one of the biggest PSYOPs on 9/11 was the boat lift that the whole world doesn't know about. 9/11 boat lift.
The boat? The 9/11 boat lift. What is the 9/11 boat lift?
Where the people came together and took over 400,000 people off the island that day. And nobody knows about it.
I never heard about it.
9/11.
Did you hear about it, Daryl?
First time hearing about it.
Look up.
I've never heard a word about
it. Look up 9/11 boat lift, where all the people came together in their ferry boats, tugboats, everything, and came and rescued people off the island that day. We never heard about it. Yeah, look it up. Look it up.
You're right.
There's a clip on.
No, I.
Yeah.
All right. No, you're right. I never heard about it. 17 years after the fact. And Daryl just admits he's never heard about it. So that's something. Okay.
That shows you how
anything else you
want to add? Yeah, that shows you how powerful these people are, that they can keep that away from us.
Yeah, no, you got a good point. All right, well, thanks for your call.
Okay.
I appreciate it, Joe.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Daryl, the 9/11 boat lift. That's the first I've heard of it.
Me too.
Yeah. How about, yeah, I mean, that's okay, it's just something else for me to Google, which I may just do at the break. But anyway, yeah, all right, so we've established that, you know, obviously their story is so full of holes, it makes no sense at all. And, you know, as a pilot, and you're a pilot, how long, I have to ask you this before we shift gears and move on, how long after 9/11 did you realize that it was all a PSYOP?
That it was all a PSYOP? I'll bet I'm kind of thick-headed about some. So 3 years. 3 years, Michael. Yeah, 3 years.
Okay, about the same time.
Yeah.
I did. After when I got up off the sofa, after watching TV, went over to the computer to start doing searches, I ran across the documentary Loose Change by Dylan Avery. And I watched that. And that's when the red flag started flying. But as I look back on it, Daryl, I say, you know, me as a pilot, why? I mean, was I that traumatically affected where all logic just escaped me for 3 years? I don't know. Was it that we wanted to believe the lie so bad that we jumped on the bandwagon? You know,
no,
it was a pretty powerful force.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Michael, I think that what you experienced and I experienced, and we're pilots, and by the way, I was around, 800 other pilots. And almost all of them were exactly in the same mental condition, and the flight attendants and flight crew and everybody associated were all pretty much in the same mental state. And it slowly unwind, and this just goes to speak to how powerful this term called PSYOP can be. What this did to everybody's minds was it affected their emotions, obviously, but it disassociates your mind and your critical thinking, and it renders you somewhat defenseless and looking for support and trust in a higher authority, which it did, and it did this completely around the world. So this PSYOP, this activity that took place and was planned out and executed worked extremely well until the magic spell rubbed off. And it's taken a long time to do that, rub the magic spell off. And so that's just how, and this is why they do PSYOPs, is to mentally break down the will of people and disassociate them. I call it it's a hybrid phenomenon that I call it. I used to teach a lot of ground schools, and we would always go over the Stockholm syndrome, where the abused and victims would identify with their captors. And then I compound that. I blend that with another syndrome, syndrome called the Munchausen by proxy, where somebody creates a problem. They usually create a medical emergency in their children or their family members through poison or other means, and then gain attention and then find the cure and rescue them. So you have this really interesting situation where we have the Stockholm syndrome coupled with looking to the people that have perpetrated these things to fix this. And it is what this inculcates into people is learned helplessness and participating in your own abuse.
All right. All right, good. We'll hold that thought. We'll take a break. We'll be back at 3. Michael Herzog with my shotgun writing partner, Daryl from Alabama. Be right back.
White people of European descent comprise 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I said again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
All right, folks, we're back. for the American Awakening, Michael Herzog, your host, live from the Valley of the Sun with my special guest. Actually, he's my shotgun writing partner today, Daryl from Alabama, who I had a very, very interesting conversation with last night. Very intelligent guy in his own right, pilot as well as myself. We're going to get back to the topic at hand. I have a want to kind of bring or ask Daryl a specific question, but let's first go to Carol in Idaho. Carol, you're on with Michael. Go ahead, Michael and Daryl. How are you?
I appreciate you taking the call. Listen, before you get off the 9/11 subject, I just want to say to you that you asked Daryl how long did it take him before he realized what a fraud this whole 9/11 conspiracy was. I just want to mention to you that I was an assistant with retired police officer Jack McLam, as I know you know. I was with him for many, many years and lived very close, just next door to him here in Idaho. Well, anyway, the morning of 9/11, the phone rang, and it was around Pacific time here, so it was like somewhere between 6 and 6:30, and I was still sound asleep. And do you know that what that phone call was? It was Jack, and the one statement he made, the opening statement on that phone call was, "Carol, they did it to us again." Anyway, little did he know how that was changing the whole makeup of our world. Anyway, that's all, Michael. Yeah. I just wanted to share that Jack McLam was one person who was on to them early in the game. That's all. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol, and I agree, and I knew Jack. I mean, I only met him one time, but I had corresponded with him many times throughout the latter years of his life, even up with the Randy Weaver thing. I got his advice on whether he thought I should go up there or not. I actually invited Jack to go with me, but Jack was ill and couldn't go. I'll tell you what, Daryl, I want to get your thoughts on another question I have for you regarding that issue. But before we do that, let's go to Francis in North Carolina. Francis, you're on with Michael and Daryl. Go ahead.
Hey, fellas. I have a rather silly question for you. I presume that the commercial planes that were used were constructed of all aluminum or steel and aluminum?
Daryl,
can you repeat that? I didn't hear it very well.
The commercial planes that were supposedly used in the attack that day, were they constructed all of aluminum or steel and aluminum?
They're aluminum. There might be certain components in the aircraft that, like the engine parts and landing gear, certain components, some attachment. Structural pieces in the aircraft are made of steel and titanium and stainless steel. These definitely would have survived, particularly the titanium and the turbine blades. But there's not enough mass there in those components to have done that damage.
Okay.
All right. Tell you what, we got to go to top of the hour. Francis, hold on. We got to go to the top of the hour break. I'll hold you over, dear, if you have something else. Be back in 2 minutes, Michael, with Daryl riding shotgun from Alabama. Be right back.
And I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.